My name is Pooja Apana, and here's part two of me talking with my friends Elijah and Mason. Listener, welcome to Woodside Lane.
Crime Pace follows a New York City drug dealer by the name of Will, who I play, and basically his cousin, Lou, who Mason plays,
brief cameo,
is about to be evicted of his apartment, and he needs a certain amount of money so he won't get kicked out by the end of the day. So basically, my character needs to set a bunch of deals and get a bunch of money to send to his character, but of course, because life isn't easy, he has a bunch of weird interactions and has to go through a couple blockades. But basically, it's a story just about how crime pays in every single way, and how, you know, you just have to live your life and you gotta do what's best, you gotta keep moving forward. So I think that's the best way to say how it is.
Yeah. And about the process, it was such a long process, even the outside, for me to see, like, you know, I would come over, like, you know, me and Wyatt would do our, like, morning coffee, and, like, Wyatt would be like, yeah, like, Elijah and Mason were up, like, all night. Like, Elijah's going back to New Jersey because they have to, like, go and, like, edit the entire thing. And yeah. You guys were just, like, so much, and I was like, wow. Like, that was really cool for me.
This was during school, too.
Yeah.
Like, I had to make a film every other week during this time because I was in film school.
Yeah. And the thing was, too, like, and, like, huge shout-out to Mason. Like, Mason was literally the tech guy in every sense.
We didn't have anybody else.
No one else knew how to do it. So Mason had a lot of that responsibility. And obviously, school's going on, spacing out. You know what I mean? So yeah. I took
COVID.
Yeah,
so I had to stay, like, I couldn't come back every week. I can only come out, like, now I can come back every week because we're all vaccinated.
But we also had to make sure we're all, like, COVID safe. And then also it was, like, a matter of, like, let's make sure we get people in this time and do that. So
It was a lot. I love seeing great work ethic, so that was, like, I really liked hearing about that type of stuff. But yeah, like, I mean, I would like to hear more about, like, what you guys, like, kind of went through throughout the whole process.
I like starting, like, from beginning to end, so I'm gonna, like, pan it over to you because you wrote it. I did not write it. Once you get past the first draft, then I can come in and be like, yeah, I was there. I did not write it.
So basically, I was listening to the song Crime Pays by Freddie Gibbs, and also, like, one of the best things about, like, living and, like, moving in with Wyatt, I was like, oh, I'm working with another, like, writer. And, like, I think it's good when you are in any field to be around people who do the same things that you, because that just inspires you and makes you want to work even more. So I was just listening to the song, and, like, I was just thinking, like, wow, like, this song is, like, so great, and the way, like, the instrumental goes. And I kind of just pictured a story of, like, someone just having to just do a job that's illegal and just carry out his day. And also, I was watching a bit of Seinfeld, too. So I was just kind of like, let's just have a story where someone just needs to... Like, I love stories of characters who are just always going through inconvenience. Because everyone... I feel like one of the great things about writing is you want to have something relatable. You got to relate to just that simple feeling. And everyone knows the feeling of, okay, I got to do this thing. It's a favor. But, oh my God, life is just going to be a pain and annoying to me.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of just like, cool. And then I kind of was... I wanted to produce something. So I was like, let's just make a short. It would be quick, straight to the point. And that's realistically what we can do during, you know, a whole school year.
And COVID.
During COVID. And then also, like, I was like, oh, like, Mason and Wyatt and Cole talked before COVID, like, literally a week before the pandemic. Like, about, like, hey, he can bring stuff. We can film something.
Oh, yeah. I was so upset.
Oh, true.
Yeah. This was, like, 2020 March, days before lockdown. I come by to hang out because I'm like, it's senior year. I'm doing my thing. I'm going to hang out in New York with my friends. I meet Wyatt and Cole, and you guys were talking about, like, doing some project, and you were like, yeah, but we can't really rent school equipment, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
I have equipment.
I like technical stuff for film. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to be back in 2 weeks, guys. COVID happened.
But then I think we talked recently, too, because you were like, hey, what's going on?
It was December.
And I saw,
like, the over the horizon, like, COVID was about to be slowing down. At least that's what it looked like on the news.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna contact these people.
You're contact people, and yeah. I was like, oh, I'm moving in with Wyatt, and then you're like, hey, if you ever need to film something, like, hit me up. So then I was like, oh, whoa, we can actually like do this. So I wrote a quick, I wrote the story, and I was like, oh, this is like a nice, sweet thing. And so I hit up Mason, and I was like, hey, I have this short film that we can maybe do. And then you were like, cool, let me read it. And then, yeah.
But let's do a flashback.
Yeah.
Boom. Cut to August 2020. All my friends are leaving for college.
Yeah.
I'm a spring admit for school. So all my friends are gone and I'm basically have a semester off. Like, I don't know what to do. I was making sketches and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to get lonely once it hits like September, October. I'm still by myself. I basically haven't left the house for anything except for like groceries. I'm door dashing everything.
Yeah.
And then I start doing like music videos and I'm like, I am not having too much fun doing this because I don't know the people that well. Like, I love working with them, but I don't know them all that well because they're a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And especially with this script, I bet it was like kind of an opportunity for you to just like...
Yeah. So it's like December-ish kind of hits, like travels along and I'm like, I got it. My parents are like, you're really like... During the beginning of the pandemic, I was fine being alone. But once it got to the point where all my friends were gone... I was like, I gotta see people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Elijah, what's up? And then, you know, obviously that happens. So that's from my perspective. Like, it's like a dry spill. And then I'm just like, I gotta, like, these people live in New York. I gotta talk to them. I was like, send me a script.
Yeah. We'll FaceTimed.
You FaceTimed. Yeah. And I was like, cool. I'm editing it with you.
Yeah.
Because we kind of go into this. I'm like, I automatically, I don't care.
So you two are really collaborative in this entire process.
Yeah.
Like, well, like the editing, you helped a lot with like editing and kind of like fitting in like.
The script.
You,
yeah.
Yeah. And because like Mason does like, because I always am like story. And Mason's director, filmmaker, all of that.
Right.
So I think like, it's a great combination.
I'm like visual, emotion.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are we going to do these other things?
I think it's really funny because Elijah said this, like, I think, I don't know, it was like a week or two ago or something, but you were like, yeah, Mason's like my work husband. Like,
yeah, basically.
Really? Like, it was so funny. Like,
we're basically married.
Like, I told my girl, I was like, yeah, I'm seeing the wife today. She goes, me? I'm like, no, Mason. Like, because I'm always like, we see each other so often,
yeah. We'll get into how like I felt about that later, but I read it, blah, blah, blah. I really like it, but I could already see like certain things that needed to kind of change.
Yeah.
Or like be like tightened up a bit just for like screen.
Exactly.
And I at this point too, I basically said to Elijah, I was like, okay, what are our roles here? Because I don't mind taking a backseat to someone else. Like if I was just like cinematographer, cool. But I'm like to Elijah, I'm like, are we co-directing it or am I just doing this and that? Like, yeah. What is the process here? And then Elijah was basically like, oh, we're co-directing.
Because
you, I don't want to speak for you, so stop me if I'm wrong. But you basically had the mindset of like, look, dude, I don't really know anything about like the filmmaking process beyond just camera and stuff. He's like, I don't know visually what would look best or be composed best.
Right.
Yeah, because I was just like, I'm very much the way I work. I'm just like, hey, I will admit if I don't know something and I want this to be good. Mason, right. I don't know this. Do your thing. You know what I mean?
So,
and luckily it was dope working with him because I learned a lot in the process, which is all what you want at the end. So yeah, it was very much just like, and also like I was leading it, so I'm like, I need someone to be like, bad job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, also like I feel like having that balance and working with your friends is like great if you're very direct about it. Like, if you, in the beginning, outline what you are doing. Because
you
the problem...
Wyatt, we were talking about that last week. You and Wyatt were talking. You were telling me about your and Wyatt's work relationship. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So there became a, like... So the thing is, like, me and Wyatt are very intense people. Like, we're very passionate. We're very type A. And we want things to kind of be perfect. Right? And I get that. But sometimes with these type of people, myself included, if things are not communicated properly... It becomes a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it breaks down.
Because people get so upset at each
other. How many relationships end with miscommunication? It's insane.
Every single one.
Every conflict is usually from miscommunication.
Right. So it's basically, nuts. With me and Wyatt, like, I love Wyatt as a friend, but we had a conversation at some point where I was like, well, basically, I outlined exactly what this was going to be, like, exactly what he was going to be doing for me, but, and exactly the fact that, like, you know, he's helping me a lot and I take his input seriously, but this is my baby. And I think the fact that it was kind of direct about that was very, like, I mean, I don't want to speak for Wyatt, but, like, for me, that was very good because then I knew kind of we were on the same page, right?
Yeah.
And I also think the fact that, like, Wyatt, I understand, and I think hopefully Wyatt understands, too, that, like, this is, as much as we are friends, this is not, like, personal, you know? Yeah. When if I sit here and I'm like, yo, like, you need to back off, or yo, I need to do this, yo, whatever, it's not, like, a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not like I hate you as a friend. It's like, yo, this just needs to change for us to be able to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what I was like, I'm really interested because, like, I think that's what you need to work with friends.
I think we're very lucky, too, where we have, like, a lot of the same intuition
yeah.
with one another. Because mm-hmm. exactly. I do try to be very direct with Elijah with a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that, like, as we continue further with the story, we'll kind of, like, emphasize that. I'll emphasize that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the, like, from the very beginning, like, I'm asking these questions about, like, what am I going to be doing? What's this? What's that? And then also, we like feedback from one another from our scripts. No matter who it is. So I'm giving, like, direct feedback, and I'm like, you don't have, I kind of give it, like, critiques as, like, I would do this, not, like, you should do this, because you should, I think it's, like, a very, like...
Also, yeah, being careful about your words, too. Yeah.
I'm very careful with my words, which is, like, the exact... Elijah's, like, very unapologetic with his words, and I'd be like...
That's something I must work on. Yeah. I'm gonna be absolutely honest.
Because I'm extremely careful, like, I'll be direct, but there's a difference between I don't care and I'm indifferent.
Right.
Like, there's, like, it means the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It means the same exact thing, but it's how you say it that, like, really affects people. So I try to be very sensitive about that, but...
No, but throughout this process, too, like, you and Elijah had to really, like, make sure that as much as, like, this was a business thing, you guys are actually, like, really good friends as well.
And films are personal.
Like, films are very personal.
That's the bad side of film is that, and that's why it's so important to work with people you like, I think.
Exactly.
But you're talking about this thing that's like, it's not like, you try to relate it to business and personal, but films are a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was going to be co-directing it, so automatically I have a little bit more, like, skin in the game, but I'm, like, taking a slight backseat to him, and that's why I'm giving critiques in such a careful way on this script at the time, because I'm like, I didn't write this. I'm asking about themes and I'm trying to help them. I want to know your goal with the script at this point. And then I want to make sure that I'm helping you emphasize that
exactly.
through whatever points. I was the biggest variable because I had to take public transportation to get to the city.
Exactly.
I was like very, very, I was as safe as I could possibly be without a car.
Yeah.
That's how I was kind of treating it.
Yeah. Because I think like one huge thing with COVID, like people forgot is like, you're really impacting like everyone around you.
Right.
Like if you have this thing and you're seeing all these people, that affects everybody. So it was
especially like this is like, you'd have to stop like your film. You'd have to stop your thing.
Yeah.
Like,
someone got COVID. No, and we all have to kind of like just quarantine.
And then,
lucky that didn't happen.
We got so lucky.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So you guys finished writing your script, and then now I'm assuming it was like casting, or what happened?
Now it's
casting was the easiest thing.
Yeah, it's more so that goes into like pre-production.
Right.
There's writing, which is technically pre-production, but there's really like writing phase and then a pre-production phase.
Yeah.
So the week after you do the edits and I come over, we're reading the script, and I don't know how much Elijah knows about filmmaking. Stop me anytime you can. But I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, cool, it'll be really quick. I'm like, well, it won't be quick, but also... It won't be quick, but also, we can't just wait it, because he already has locations in mind, because we have other friends that have another apartment.
He has
people in mind for casting. Like you said, that was the easiest thing, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, so with casting, it was just like... I was just like, luckily, I know a lot of amazing actors, where it was like, okay, they could totally like... elevate this. And
Wyatt being one of them.
Right, obviously. We almost got you.
Yes.
But it was, you were busy.
Yeah.
But we're really close. But we got Tej Mumadisingu instead. So shout out to Tej. No, but it was great because it was like I wrote a total chaotic character. I'm not going to spoil it because watch it.
Yeah.
But basically Miles is like the most chaotic good person I know.
Because
Miles always like means well. And he's also just like a super friendly person.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, let's have him be chaotic evil. And he totally killed it. And then with Lay, she's just like, she's very much like a bro. Very like good friend, caring person, and the role she was playing is a caring person. So I was like, oh, she could easily kill this. Right. And she totally did. So, and then with like Mason, it was already like, we have a very like, I feel like Mason and I are like, because we talk to each other so much, it's like kind of like a very like big brother, little brother dynamic. So I was like, oh, he's playing a cousin. That would totally work in a way. He's just like talking. So it was just kind of like, cool. Let's just go straight forward, straight to it. And then it was just like that. So yeah, casting was super easy.
That was casting. So I didn't have to worry about that at all. Because he already had all the people in mind that he wanted to be in the film.
Exactly.
Or if we needed somebody, he would just call somebody and it'd be really quick and super simple.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was like, okay, we have the casting, all this. I'm like, make sure you lock the actors in not too far in advance because it's a free thing. So we're kind of, you know, we're like trying to make sure, like, okay, just a little bit advanced, like you're hanging out with
somebody. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that way people don't flake on you.
Yeah.
They have a different obligation. And then after that, we kind of made a shot list, which is just, you know, a list of all the shots you want to get.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was kind of more like, then you started filming, I assumed, after that.
We had a 2-week buffer.
Yeah, it was like another 2-week buffer. And
then we filmed,
were talking, like, I think we were talking throughout the week about certain things like locations. And
exactly,
stuff like
locations.
That. I was finishing
did
up
you guys,
the shot
like,
list.
Plan, did you guys, were you guys like the type of people that like planned every single thing that was happening, or did you kind of just let it happen?
I usually, like for film stuff, I usually do a storyboard, which is a drawing of every single shot.
Yeah.
So that way, like, I have a clear picture in my head of what I want. But I was like, I remember during the prep phase, before I made the shot list, we were like going to Jake and Teddy's apartment. Jake and Teddy, great guys. Yeah. Teddy actually did the score.
Teddy the score, killed it. Mm-hmm. They're very awesome. Like, let us film another place.
Luckily, we went to their apartment, so I was actually able to see it. Because I think Elijah was like, oh, you just go there and you film. And in my head, I'm like, no, I want it to have, like, I want the visuals to kind of emphasize certain themes of it.
Oh, so you two kind of, like, worked, like, it's kind of something different that you two do, right? Like, you go film and then you were, like, more of a planner.
I'm very, well, I think it's because Elijah's, he's a writer. He's not necessarily a filmmaker.
Not a filmmaker, yeah.
I've been doing it since I was 10.
Yeah.
And also,
I feel like, eight.
Also, I feel like a little bit, the thing is when you're filming at your friend's places, you're so used to your friend's place that when you see another good friend, you think,
they know
it. They know it. And then you're like, oh, wait,
I'm like, I've only been there like once. I gotta like see it and do all that stuff. So I see the place and then we make the shot list. And my planning process is usually a lot more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly because I'm usually working by myself.
Exactly.
So I have to just keep my own mind in check.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like messes with me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, well, I don't mind freeballing things. I do that all the time.
Exactly.
I do that with filming as well. But I just want to make sure we have a generalized plan so that way when we're on the day and we're filming, when something inevitably goes wrong, like we don't have to like keep everything in our head. And especially because Elijah again doesn't really know too much about filmmaking.
Exactly.
They probably know more now than you did then.
I've improved.
It would be really like, okay, what shots do we need? I'd have to just think about that on the spot. So I'm like, we're gonna do a shot list, we're gonna do this, blah blah blah. So when we planned it, I kind of just knew, like, all right, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I sent him stills beforehand.
Like,
the two-week buffer. I was like, okay, this is what I'm thinking in terms of, like, the visuals.
And then even when it comes to certain things, like, when we did, like, certain drug deals, it was very much like Mason was like, Elijah, come up with an idea on the spot. And let's have the actors
so
in the script, it just said drug deals happen, and I was like, Elijah, come up with some ideas before.
Space for, like, a
Because it was like, just kind of, and it also was like, I knew we weren't casting like actors too, so it was kind of like, we kind of knew it was going to be improvised.
Right.
So it was just like, okay, come up with an idea. And so like,
I was like, come up with three beforehand, and then on the spot, we can always just,
we get and do it. So it was like funny, because I was like, okay, I need Wyatt as an extra. And I was like, what would sound hilarious for Wyatt to say? I'm like, oh, Wyatt doing cocaine. That just sounds funny to me. So we like totally worked like a whole scene around that, or even like Cole, like the way Cole is, I was like, I love to see Cole pop out a tree. So, like, it would just be, like, little things like that, and then we're able to build a whole thing. And it was also dope because, like, talking to Tej, we're able to see, like, what the actors wanted to do as well. So it was, like,
it
was a really
fun
process.
It was, like, a big collaborative, like, experience.
Yeah.
So that was all the pre-production stuff. And then, you know, next week after that, we're filming.
Filming.
I'm directing, but I'm meeting Leigh for the first time.
And then it was also, like, I would mainly talk to the actors, like, beforehand. Yeah. So it was like, hey, like, I want you to do this and this and that. Like, let's fill this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, Mason, we did a great, like, Mason had a great idea. And then it was great to do just, like, blocking the scene, figuring it out.
Right. Yeah, because that was also, like, that's a filmmaking thing that's more filmmaking so than a writing bit. Thing. So yeah. When we got on set and we were doing rehearsals, I'm doing more so of, like, the visual directing, I would say, and directing Elijah, because he doesn't have anyone directing himself.
Exactly.
And right. Then Elijah is more so working with the actors. I love working with actors, but it's something we discovered on set, but it's really something you can't have two directors talk to the same actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it just, they get confused on, like, who to listen to. Like, exactly. God forbid I say something to Leigh that's the opposite of what he said to her.
Yeah, and I think it was smart, because, like, I would give, like, emotional direction, like emotional beats, and Mason would just do blocking beats. So it was totally, like, able to work that out when it was when it was, like, talk to act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So in general, yeah. And also, I think we did also a good job just making sure everyone was, like, because the whole scene, in this scene, it's like everyone feels like at home. And, like, when Leigh and Mason first met, we literally were watching the Big Time Rush pilot before we started filming. Oh, so I think everyone was like,
that then?
Yeah, it was then. Oh. So I think everyone was like, oh, like, we're in a good, you know what I mean? Good space, safe space, all joking around. There's actually, maybe this will be released in the director's commentary, but there's actually a fun moment where the cast is just dancing to Michael Jackson's PYT.
Aww. So filming seemed really fun then. Like, yeah. Seemed like, actually, like,
well,
really.
It can be.
It can't. Well, it is for everyone who's not Mason.
Well, yeah,
I'm wearing, like, four different hats on. I like it. Like, yeah, I'm having fun, and but it's hard to live in the moment, because when you're, like, if you're doing one job, yeah, you can like, you know, your mind is focused on one thing, but when you're not doing that thing, you're not focusing on something.
Right.
Else.
So exactly. No, and definitely that stress probably went over to the editing process as well too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. But in filming, even it was like super stressful, because I have all the gear, like, that's not a concern, but I have to lug my gear from Jersey. I have to pick what gear I want to bring from Jersey to here.
Yeah.
And also on top of that, it's like, Miles helped out. He was a
great
Miles
helped out a lot.
On the first day of filming, because there was two major days of filming and then pickups.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
I had to do lighting. I had to make sure the sound was good, which it wasn't, because I didn't bring my proper sound equipment. I had to make sure the shot was good. I had to make sure the performance of Elijah and, like, even Leigh was good. Because even though he's doing emotional direction, I still have to, like, pay attention to that.
You have to pay attention. Because, like, it's always good, like, when you're doing, because it's also, it's like, when
you're
acting,
in the scene.
When you're acting, writing, and directing, you're thinking so much of everything. So always, it was so great to just basically be like, hey, buddy, do it this way.
Yeah.
Or, like, do it that way, or, like, do
or
this.
Or be louder.
Be louder.
That was a huge thing with Elijah. They kept saying, like, speak up, speak up.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a home scene. And you're just
I did have a lot of fun, but I think I was, like, a lot of my, it's, like, a lot more murky, the memory.
Yeah.
Because I was so focused on, like,
focused.
So many things.
And then also, it's, like, Mason was going, like, 4 hours straight. Because I think we started shooting at 2, and we ended at, like, 6:15. So it was just, like, bah.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that was
setting up every shot. I'm, like, exactly. Setting up the lights.
Had some good dumplings that night, though.
Yeah. It was definitely fun. Like, I had so much fun shooting it. It's just, like,
it's work.
It's also, yeah, it's
work.
Work.
Yeah.
But luckily, I it's my passion, so work doesn't feel like work.
Hearing about this process is, like, really interesting. It's because, like, this was also for a short film. Like, imagine, like, the big, long... This is why these films...
Oh, we would need more people.
We would need more people.
I would go insane. Like, I would not be able to do all those jobs as one person for that long.
Yeah.
How satisfied were you guys at the end?
At the end?
Yeah.
I was just like, just get it done.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, like, satisfaction. I was just like, thank...
At the end, it was just kind of like, I was more so happy that we were able to make a short film with a group of friends. Because every time, look, not to shit on people, but most people who make films with their friend groups usually suck. It's just, I'm going to be real. Like, you know those people who are like, yeah, we're doing it.
Well, because it's like a massive echo chamber. But the funny thing about our friend group is we're like, if you have nothing, if you only have things nice to say, get away from me.
Exactly.
Like, every time you give a critique on something I send you, I'm like, okay, but yeah, but, like, what did you not like about it?
Yeah, I like that, too. Like, I don't like when people sit here and tell me nice. I'm like, no, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Like,
sure,
tell me, like...
I'm definitely insecure where I think, like, people are lying when they tell me all nice things.
Because
I'm like...
So even if they're being nice, you're
just
like, I don't want to
hear No, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, hopefully later in the future, you guys get to, you know, film an actual... actual feature film. That'd be so interesting.
Yeah, that's more so. I know you like TV more, but
like,
I'm definitely love the feature world. Or if I'm around filmmaking at all, I'm pretty happy. So, in terms of like 10-year plan, I'm not even 20 yet. But like, so it's really like a 10-year. It's not even like a 5-year plan.
That sounds like a bar.
10-year plan. I'm not even 20 yet.
It's like M. Nathaniel Woodard on the beach. So,
like, in terms of what I would love to do, like animating, because I think I watched cartoons for way longer than like the cool kids would be like, oh, you know, like when kids were like, oh, you're still watching cartoons? That's for little kids. It's like, they're still cool though.
They're so cool. Yeah.
So I still watch kids' cartoons today. Like I just love.
We watched Avatar together like 2 weeks ago.
I watched like new stuff today.
You know, what do you watch? Like on Nick Jr.?
Not Nick Jr., but like, although, like Disney Channel has some good The Owl House? That's a kid show.
Shout out Owl House.
That's a Disney show. No, it's that's really
cool. Like animation. Wow.
Yeah. That's like what I would want to do for TV.
Like I just remember when we first met, Mason showed me like a draft of like one of the shows he animated.
I remember those
and he
drawings.
Still has the drawings now, like updated versions.
Yeah, like I update them every couple of years as my art gets better.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like,
it's really sick.
It's weird because like to me, shows are just long movies because my favorite one is Avatar The Last Airbender. So I'm like, there's an ending. You have to do an ending. So
exactly.
I draft it out like I draft out movies, but I would love to like direct movies at first. Because of high school, all of some programs I went to, because again, they kind of expect you to do something like more about your identity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I wish, they'd be like, you're really good at technical, blah, 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 but I wish you did more with like something else.
Right.
And they would just say something else. And then I had to like kind of figure out as I got older, like, oh, they want me to talk more so about being black. Like that's what they're really saying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that just to do that.
Yeah.
I'll do it if I want to. There's some stories where I really want to focus on that, but I'm not going to do it just to do it. So I'd really want to, like, I was, like, transitioning at that point. I was like, I want to direct still, but I'll probably do, like, cinematography, which is camera stuff. So, like, when I got to that point where I was like, I want to be a cinematographer, I was like, commercials. Because that's really, like, people don't realize if you're doing high-end commercials, which take a really long time to do, but not even in the digital space. Like, if you're doing really high-end commercials, that's where cinematographers, one, make most of their money, and two, have the most fun. Because it's just about making things look nice.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'd love to do that. But then after a couple of years, like, because this was before junior year I had this thought, but after like a couple of years when you get to like this year even, when I started doing film school online, and I'm directing all these shorts every couple of weeks for class, I'm like, oh no, I do want to direct. And doing Scrum Pays, I'm like, I really do want to direct.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, I found out, like, I think I'm better at it than what the people that were critiquing me were saying. I think a lot of their critiques I took to heart and like worked on, and I still think there's things I could do better at, but I think I kind of like found my voice.
Well, yeah, but also like you're
director.
Never good at anything the first time you do it.
Yeah, it's like I'm 16.
I mean,
so it's
even
not
for this, even for this podcast, I had five people come in and do some like just have talk and like to figure out how we wanted to even do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Elijah, how about you?
With me, like, I think again, like, when you're in the field, like, you just want to do anything that offers.
Yeah.
Right? So I think I'm always open to that, but, like, obviously as, like, a main dream and goal, like, I really want to showrun a show. Because, like, I just grew up with television. Like, growing up in Providence, like, it would be, like, you know, you have a bunch of, like, kids just living on, like, the block. And it would be, like, oh, man, let's watch, like, this new iCarly episode. So that's why, like, it's interesting because, like, I'm a playwriting major now, and people are, like, you need to grow up watching plays. It's, like, you're not going to go... Like, you're not going to come across a group of kids in a working class, like, Providence neighborhood who's like, oh, man, I try to see that Sunday matinee at Phantom of the Opera. Like, that just doesn't exist.
Right.
So, like, basically, I always, like, gravitated to TV, and, like, my family loves TV. Like, we would, every single night, it was basically a matter of, like, oh, like, let's watch this episode, let's watch this show. Like,
right.
I was with my family for the past, like, week, and we watch Sopranos, like, every single day.
Right.
And so I feel like I always just love that, and I just love the ability of, like, I feel like when I see a TV show, I'm like, oh my God, like, we know that person. I know them. How could you do that? Like,
right.
So I feel like,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I just feel like it's able to build, like, you got many stories and you really see these people's lives and you can expand it for as long as, like, possible if you want to. But obviously you shouldn't do it for too long because you can't do too much of anything.
Right.
But I think in general, I would love to just, like I love right now, like, writing with Miles because it's mainly his thing. Like, it's mainly his thing, but it's great to just be like, okay, that's your vision. Here's my suggestions. Let me write it out. Yeah. Let's still figure it out. So I'm always open to be on a writing team. If a movie's great, obviously, I'd love to be a part of that. But when it comes to, like, my main dream, yeah, it's mainly to have a TV show.
I guess to kind of just, like, slowly wind down, I do want to ask one question. It's kind of sentimental, so. Oh.
Will you marry me?
If you were to go back to your six-year-old self.
Six-year-old?
Six.
Six.
Well, like, I can't understand anything I'm saying.
You're like, it's not, like, just enough that you understand, but, like, yeah. Words, but, like, not enough that you know what's going to happen to you. What advice would you give them?
My six-year-old self?
Mm-hmm.
And just keep doing what you're doing. You're fine. That's kind of what I would probably say, because I feel like I kind of, like, worked things out through just, like, how I feel happy now, so.
Oh, that's content. That's actually really cool.
That's kind of, I feel happy, so I kind of just don't think there's, I don't want to mess that track up. If I go back to my 12-year-old self, I'd be like, dude, be less of a nihilist. Because, like, I didn't figure out until I was, like, 16, which I'm kind of happy I figured out how to be less of a nihilist before college. But I was like, wow, I should be less of a nihilist. Like, it's sophomore year. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. So I just tell my six-year-old to keep doing.
It's so funny. So just before I give the advice, the funny thing is I have a very clear memory when I was six. And my first grade teacher, we had to guess a word. And she says, Elijah has this. And I was like, what's the word? She goes, an imagination. And I think now it's really interesting that we're doing films. It's all based off our whole imagination. So I just want to give a quick shout out to Miss Haig about that. But I guess back to my six, just to go around being six, I guess the same thing, because it's just kind of like, you can't really, life just kind of, it just happens. You do your thing. Like we were thrown COVID as a curveball, but we couldn't have made this film if it wasn't for COVID.
Yeah, I'd be gone.
Yeah, you'd be gone. Yeah. Like, we would probably be in school. Like, it was very much like this film wouldn't have been possible.
I would have never met Pooja.
Oh my God, you never would have. Yeah.
Like, so it's just in general where it's like, it's just kind of, you can't really say, oh, do this, do that. It's kind of like you just got to play it out. So I think that's just kind of what I'll give. But I guess remind my 6-year-old self to be myself, be yourself, I guess, and then continue to go.
Yeah. The universe kind of, the way I think about things personally, it's like, obviously you have to put in the work and actually do things to get outcome. You get what you put into stuff. You put in trash, you get trash. Put in, you know, gold, you get gold.
Yeah.
But I kind of think like, the universe just works itself out. Like, if I just stayed in my room the whole time, I wouldn't have made Crime Pays. But the fact that, like, COVID happened, it's like, the universe works itself out, and then I got to make a short film, and now I have a whole, like, thing where I have, like, 10 credits on it. And, like, yeah, I did this thing during COVID, so it's like, you know.
Really great.
It works. Things just work out. Like, things happen the way they're supposed to happen. It's more so what you do with the outcome than happens.
You can't wait around. You just gotta work with what you got.
Yeah.
Work with what you got. Move forward.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pooja.
Thank you, Pooja.
Thank you.
Was this your first podcast?
This,
me?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that was mine too. So,
that was fun.
I really appreciate it.
You did a great job.
You did a great job.
I felt so bad. I'm like, I should ask Pooja more questions.
No. It's all about you guys. No. That was good. I really liked it. Welcome to Woodside Lane was co-created by Pooja Apana and Wyatt Sarkissian. Music by Sean Terry's Avery and Milton Amparo. Presented by Apana LLC.